This is Mimi Stojanović, founder of Gravity Backdrops, and you're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
This episode is sponsored by our friends at FreshBooks. The weather is better, and if you're a freelance photographer or a small business owner, you'd much rather be out in it shooting rather than dealing with paperwork, right? And that's where the cloud-based accounting software from FreshBooks comes in. To sign up for your 30-day free trial, go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you, FreshBooks, for your support. Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 72. Are we too sensitive or desensitized in 2016? In this episode, Calvin Klein causes upset, a new speed light and lens out of Canon, Corel takes a shot at Adobe, Canon seems set to refresh their 16-35, and Samsung releases a massive little micro SD card. All that and more in episode 72 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much, Mimi, for opening the show. I greatly appreciate it, brother. Most will not know the name Mimi Stojanović nor the name of his company, Gravity Backdrops, but there's no doubt you've seen his products as some of the world's top photographers use them for their portrait work. Our friend Miguel Quiles, a Sony artisan, his good friend Jeff Rojas, and quite a few others I know use them and love them. Jeff has taught on Creative Live, Miguel has a show on Adorama TV, and these are discerning people, so if they choose Gravity Backdrops, you know they must be good. If you'd like to see what the fuss is all about with these hand-painted yet reasonably priced backdrops making a splash in our industry, head on over to their website at gravitybackdrops.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 72 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and elsewhere and helping to get the word out about this show. We're growing like crazy, and it's thanks to listeners like you. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. A big story this week was Calvin Klein's latest ad campaign and whether or not the photography went a little bit too far. Now, I'm no prude, but personally, I think it did. We're going to keep it clean as usual here on the podcast. You know, we got to maintain that clean rating after all. But as we'll be talking about a photograph of a young but legal model photographed in a suggestive way, it might be time to pause the podcast and pop on some headphones if you have kids around. All right, now that the kids are out of the room or you've got the headphones on, let's dive into the controversy here. Calvin Klein, as we all know, has pushed the limits for decades, and that's fine. That's okay. You know, the market and society in general are going to decide with their dollars if something's gone too far or not. No problem there. Well, this time, their ad campaign is going to cost them quite a bit of money. But on the flip side, all the brand awareness they're going to get, of course, from this, the massive boost from everyone talking about it, is just going to make them more money. And that was the goal from the start, of course. So for Calvin Klein, there was no downside here. You know, they're going to be making money hand over fist, and they knew that going in. The photo in question features a 22-year-old Danish model named Clara Kristen in a dress looking down at the camera as it photographs her from below, and on the caption for the photo that was on Instagram, it says, quote, "take a peek," end quote. This type of photo is what's known in pop culture as an upskirt. I think most of us have heard that term. Now, in many places, shooting those kind of photos is illegal, of course. Now, not if your subject knows that you're doing it, but for the most part, people don't know that they're being photographed that way. You get the idea here. It's a type of photo that's generally not done nor seen by society at large. It's more something that certain people are specifically seeking out online, if you know what I'm saying. ABC News' Nightline show did a nearly 7-minute piece on it one night, and there's been a petition started online which reads, quote, "By normalizing and glamorizing this sexual harassment, Calvin Klein is sending a message that the experiences of real-life victims don't matter and that it is okay for men to treat women standing next to them on the metro as available pornography whenever they so choose," end quote. So over on the Petapixel Mothership, we did a poll, and of the more than 2,800 respondents at the time of this recording, 24% thought it was inappropriate, 70% thought it was fine, and 6% were not sure. You know, as a society, we get offended by everything these days, right? But with something like this, I think it's important to realize that most of us are well-adjusted individuals and can handle seeing these images. But the sticking point with this type of photo, in my opinion, is that those in our population who can't handle themselves will further become desensitized with images like this. And they'll think it's okay because they saw it in a magazine, on Instagram, or whatever, from a big name brand like Calvin Klein. So if Calvin Klein does it, it must be okay. It's mainstream now. Now, of course, there has to be a line. Otherwise, you'd see explicit images in magazines, on your favorite blogs, etc. And again, I'm no prude, but I think this image went a little bit too far, in my opinion. Next. As I said in a recent episode, Adobe needs to be concerned, if they're not already. And that's because other companies want a piece of the pie. And with so many people talking about Lightroom being turtle slow, now's the time to grab a slice or two. Corel, maker of Aftershot Pro, which many have never even heard of, by the way, has just released version 3 of its non-destructive RAW editor. And not only does it add cool features like more powerful highlight recovery and the ability to create custom lens correction profiles, what they're really pushing as its main feature is its speed. Now think about that for a second. Last week, On1 announced its Photo RAW program and touted its incredible, almost instantaneous speed. And now Corel is pushing speed as a great reason to use it rather than Lightroom. Do you see a pattern here? They're going after the apparent slowness of Lightroom and trying to take them on in that realm. I've been talking for months about how incredibly slow Lightroom is for me, and few have said otherwise. I mean, we're talking maybe two people have said, nope, it's great for me. I don't know what you're talking about. So maybe there's something to that, especially when other companies are using that slowness to show just how much faster they are. Corel says that their product is up to 4 times faster than Lightroom and builds on its, quote, reputation as the industry's fastest photo editor, end quote. Really? I've been in the industry for a while now, and this is the first time that I'm hearing this claim of that program. In fact, the name Aftershot Pro so infrequently passes the lips of anyone that I know that I had completely forgot that it even existed. I was like, oh yeah, that program. I wonder what it's been up to. I haven't seen it in a while. It's like seeing an old friend post on Facebook and wondering where the heck they've been. You're like, whoa, I forgot I was even friends with that guy. What's he been doing? Has he been locked up or something? Went on vacation? I don't know. All of this just tells me that Corel seriously needs to step up the marketing campaign. Because I did a Twitter poll, and of everyone who responded, 82% said they have never heard of Aftershot Pro. I mean, think about that for a second. If I did a poll asking, have you heard of Adobe Photoshop Lightroom? Or just said, have you heard of Lightroom? Darn near 100% would be like, well, yeah, of course. So you've got like 1 in 5 people out there, according to my poll, who have heard of this product. And these are photographers who are following me. So there's that. Corel definitely needs to step it up. If you want people to buy your product, they have to actually know it exists first. Many people are going to be finding out about this product for the first time right here on the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Now, in lab tests conducted by the company on an Intel Core i7 machine running Windows 10, they exported a selection of 100 RAW files converted to JPEG up to 4 times faster than Lightroom on the very same machine. They did the same with RAW files coming out of cameras from Canon, Nikon, Fujifilm, Sony, and Panasonic, and the results show that Aftershot Pro 3 obliterated Lightroom handily. It wasn't even close. Without even knowing who won, you could look at the chart and see that one of them obviously killed the other. Not even close. It wasn't a judgment call at all. They also tested importing files into a catalog, and that was 3 times faster, they say. And the initial scan of 100 RAW images came in at over 4 times faster than Lightroom. Of this impressive performance, Greg Wood, Corel's Senior Director of Photo Products, says, quote, Aftershot Pro 3 is a faster and more affordable solution for photographers looking for high-quality results. It doesn't lock you into catalogs or a subscription, and is focused on photographers' common need, great images in less time, end quote. You know, they're pushing the speed thing big time here. Adobe has got to be paying attention to this, right? I mean, they must. Let's hope that this competition lights a fire and they speed Lightroom up. Because personally, I like Lightroom. I just don't like how slow it is for me. And I'd prefer not to switch if possible. So in addition to its speed, Aftershot Pro 3 has comprehensive watermarking, layer-based blemish removal tools, the ability to do custom lens profiles, and what they're calling dynamic and modular camera profile updates. Of that last feature, the company says, quote, "With the modular delivery system, as soon as a new camera profile is created by our development team, it's made available for download directly in-app," end quote. In other words, no waiting for a new version before you can process files from that new camera that you just bought. So that's pretty cool. If this all sounds great to you, you can give it a try as the company has a 30-day free trial. And if you like it, it's available on Windows, Mac, and Linux. You don't hear that every day now, do you? For just $80 US to new users and $60 if you're upgrading from the previous version. And remember, there's no subscriptions with this program. I sure hope Adobe hears the drumbeat here. Speed up Lightroom or lose some more pie. Next. As we always say here on the podcast, thanks to the amazing technology available to us, sharing our photos is so easy. And so is running your business if you use FreshBooks. Whether you make your money with photography or you have another small business, you'd rather be shooting and editing your photos than dealing with paperwork, right? I know I would. Well, FreshBooks solves this problem by making it incredibly fast and easy. Their amazingly simple cloud-based invoicing solution keeps your cash flow details all in one place so you know exactly who you've invoiced, who's paid, who hasn't, and what your income is. And their FreshBooks mobile app is awesome. It lets you take pics of your receipt and organize them later so you have them all ready to go come tax time. Do yourself a favor and check out FreshBooks. You'll be more prepared, less stressed, and you can get back to enjoying your life and doing what you love most. Amazingly, on average, FreshBooks users get paid a full 2 weeks faster when accepting online payments. They cut 2 days a month of administrative tasks, and they double the revenue in the first 24 months. More time shooting means more time to make money rather than shuffling papers. And right now, FreshBooks is offering a free 30-day trial to our listeners. Just go to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Thank you so much, FreshBooks. According to our friends over at Canon Rumors, Canon looks to be ready to drop a new version of the awesome 16-35mm f2.8 L-series lens next month, June 2016. If true, the Mark III version of this incredibly popular lens will make a whole lot of people happy, and I suspect that the refresh is coming now because not a whole lot of the company's current crop of lenses can even come close to resolving the 50.6 megapixels of their 5DS and 5DSR. And who knows what else is coming down the road. They seem to be hell-bent on coming out with cameras that have a whole lot of megapixels in them. Like anyone's asking for that. What's the point of having a camera with incredible resolution when you're putting subpar glass on it? It's like owning a Ferrari and putting some cheap $50 tires on it. It's just pointless. You know, the glass they have now is great on their other bodies, but not so much on the high megapixel stuff. Now, there's no word, of course, on how much this new lens is going to go for because it hasn't been officially released yet, but the current one retails for about $1,449 US, so it's going to be in that ballpark, I'm thinking. The Mark II version of the 16-35 2.8L is a great lens. If you have one, you know that. You love that lens. But modern lens manufacturing is stellar these days, so the new one should be incredible. Imagine how tack sharp that thing is going to be. It's going to be insane. I mean, it really is hard to find a bad lens these days. Even the kit lenses aren't too bad. Kit lenses today are way better than the lenses we had 15, 20 years ago. If you're a Canon shooter and you have no plans for a high megapixel camera anytime soon, I say maybe wait until this new 16-35 comes out. Pick up the current one that's out there because it is amazing. It is a tack sharp lens. You will love it and you'll save yourself a few bucks. Actually, you'll save yourself a lot of bucks. Next. I don't want to be all, hey, you kids, get off my lawn here, but I remember a time when a 256 megabyte card was a big deal. And now we have massive amounts of storage in even smaller packages. And that describes the new 256 gigabyte Evo Plus micro SD card from Samsung, which can hold 12 hours of 4K video. Now that's just crazy talk right there. First, putting all your eggs in one basket like that is perhaps not wise. I mean, can you imagine losing 12 hours of video when you have a card failure? Yeah, not good. Now, these cards are designed for things like action cameras, camera drones, 360-degree cameras, smartphones and tablets, of course. But still, that's a lot of eggs in one basket. According to the company, quote, consumers can now record up to 12 hours of 4K UHD video or 33 hours of full HD video on their mobile devices or action cameras without needing to change or replace the memory card, allowing them to experience more and worry less about running out of memory, end quote. For those that don't know, UHD is ultra-high definition video, that's 4K, and full HD is what the industry calls 1080p HD video. When shooting those types of video, read and write speeds of the cards are 95 megabytes per second and 90 megabytes per second, respectively. And the card is also waterproof down to 1 meter for a full 30 minutes. You know, for when your drone crashes into the lake. You have 30 minutes to jump in the lake, find your drone, and snag that card, apparently. Seriously, though, that's why these things are waterproof. Otherwise, why would you need it to be? They're also X-ray proof as well as magnet proof, like you're bringing your media cards near those threats ever, right? And the operating temperature range is minus 13 to 185 degrees Fahrenheit, also known as minus 25 to 85 degrees Celsius. So that's quite the range. You can take this pretty much anywhere on the planet except for maybe inside a volcano and get some really great shots, and this card's going to hold up, supposedly. Now, this card's going to go on sale sometime in June 2016 with an awesome 10-year warranty, which is craziness, and will cost just $250 US. I say just because that is pretty darn inexpensive for what you're getting here. I mean, memory is so cheap these days. That's basically a dollar a gigabyte. I mean, that is insane. Personally, though, I think it makes a lot more sense to pick up a couple 128 gig cards or maybe even some 64 gig cards rather than one of these, just in case. Remember, eggs, basket, bad things. Yeah, you don't want that. Next. If you're a Canon user, there's a couple of new goodies to tell you about. The first is a cool new lens for their EOS M mirrorless system, and the other is a new speed light. The new lens is Canon's EFM 28mm f3.5 STM macro lens with built-in micro lights. It's a 45mm equivalent in 35mm terms and is the first macro lens for Canon's mirrorless M system, a system which really hasn't taken off, but with this interesting lens and rumors that Canon is coming out with a more serious full-frame mirrorless body later this year, things are starting to get interesting, I think. Starting to, we'll see. This lens features a hybrid IS that's said to provide 3.5 stops of stabilization, true one-to-one reproduction, an option to use a special 1.2x super macro mode, a stepping motor for smooth, darn near silent AF, which is desirable when you're shooting video, of course, and a tapered lens top to prevent the casting of shadows when you're working in close with your subject, as you do with macro work. But what I find particularly cool about this lens are the two built-in flash units, which surround a portion of the lens. These, quote, miniature macro light electronic flash units, end quote, are extremely helpful, of course, in lighting your subject since you're going to be super close to it, and lighting it from elsewhere may introduce nasty shadows for you to have to deal with. So that's very helpful. With these built-in flashes, you're not only going to be able to light whatever tiny subject you're able to get close enough to, they'll also help freeze motion, improve color accuracy, and according to Canon, provide, quote, a better sense of depth and dimension, end quote. You'll be able to fire them together, of course, but what's really sweet is being able to turn just one on and fire that and light your subject from the side rather than with both of them. That can give you some really cool, interesting, and creative looks, of course. The thing I find interesting, though, is that most people don't even do macro photography. I mean, I'd be surprised if maybe 2% of photographers ever have, let alone on a frequent enough basis to want a special lens for it. So for Canon to come out with a specialized lens like this for a camera system that's not super popular, that's interesting, I think. I don't know what they're doing here. You know, I guess it's Canon's attempt at trying something new for a change. I'm always talking on the show about how Canon and Nikon lag behind Sony and the others in innovation, and this might be an actual glimmer of hope now. So I'm going to give credit where credit is due here. If you have an EOS M system and you want to do some macro work, this might be a really cool lens for you to try out. Now, if you have the Canon EOS M system, or you plan on it, you can pre-order this lens right now for just $300 US, and it should be available sometime in June of 2016. Now, the other announcement along with this lens was an update to one of Canon's workhorse flashes, and that's the new Speedlight 600 EX Mark II RT. Its recycle time has been improved by, quote, approximately 1.1 to 1.5 times, end quote. How's that for oddly specific? 1.1 times, of course, is just 10% faster. A negligible amount for most shooters, I think. Now, 1.5 times, on the other hand, that's 50% faster, and that is actually helpful. But who knows when that kicks in? Maybe your batteries have to be fully charged. I don't know. Now, if you want to get up to 2 times faster recycle time with these flashes, Canon wants you to pick up their CP-E4N compact battery pack, of course. If you're in the need for a new flash for your Canon, you can pre-order one of these bad boys right now for the ridiculously high price of $580 US and expect it sometime in June of 2016. I tell you, with so many third-party flashes out there from the likes of Young Nuo and others coming in at just $100 or so, doesn't it become harder and harder to justify spending almost $600 on a flash? I mean, that's ridiculous. And imagine if you need like 5 of these darn things. That's $3,000 on flashes when you can spend $500-$600 with Young Nuo and call it good. Oh, Canon, how you amuse me. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 72 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, feel free to email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, and I hope you do, head on over to Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. And don't forget, if you want to help support this show, check out our sponsor, FreshBooks. Head on over to freshbooks.com/petapixel and enter petapixel in the How Did You Hear About Us section. They've got a 30-day free trial for you, and I want you to check it out. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 73. Well, it's f8 and 250th of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.